Good morning, church family. This is another edition of the Sun is Rising devotion. Well, it's getting closer to Easter, and it's early this month since it's the last Sunday in March. And most of us have all kinds of things we look forward to. Many of us have some kind of candy we really enjoy. For me, it's been M&M peanuts, and although I do like Snickers as well. You ever had a frozen Snicker? They're good. Anyway, if I wanted M&M peanuts, no matter the color or quantity, I could often find them most any time during the year, including the 3 months just prior to commemorating Christ's incarnation and all that he did for us. However, if I wanted a sugar rush from Cadbury cream eggs or some Peeps, although I have to be truthful with you, that's not important to me on either one, the window of availability is much, much more limited, say, during the Easter season. If candy is any measure of enjoyment or fulfillment in lives of people, we seem to have lost the track of what's truly important in life. Our culture seems to be more eager to emphasize our preference for candy at times than they are at seeing or understanding Christ's sacrifice and demonstration of love at Easter. Yet as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection are of the first importance for the Christian faith. He says this, "For what I receive, I pass on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, it started there, of first importance. Since this is the central part of our faith, it deserves more than just a weekend of celebration. As children of God, if we tell the stories of Jesus' death on Friday and resurrection on Sunday, we've left out a lot of information. To understand the significance of Easter and Christ's resurrection, people, including children, need to have a bigger picture of him than a baby in a manger and a man dying on a cross. We need to better understand all of the Scripture, which is usually more than a weekly message at church or a single Bible study or class that can provide. It would be helpful to use the week before and or the year before to prepare our families for understanding the wonder of what took place through our God and giving of his Son and the resurrection. The time leading up to Easter is the perfect time to make the opportunity to talk with our kids and our families about Jesus' preaching, teaching, friends, work, and being human enough in every way, but also perfectly God. A time for us to help them see how this applies to our own lives, how the example Jesus sets for us is to apply to our living each day in this world. Maybe this could be the start of an ongoing pattern for family discipleship. Who knows? The chance to create a habit which will improve the family and many of our family members as they grow up. The impact could and will set a trend for a lifetime. Let me offer a few suggestions that might take place, and I know others have offered these too, but they're so basic, but yet I had to learn them through the years of ministry. First, get started. Even if you're not sure what to share, starting is the most important thing. We tend to procrastinate. Now, I know you don't, but I have in the past. We tend to procrastinate, and thus we know we should do something, and often we just don't do it. Start today, now, and keep it going, just as our grandmothers and our parents did for so many of us, and you know how it's impacted our lives. Secondly, pick a specific day and time. Don't be ambiguous. Most of us will say, oh, we're going to do this to the so, and it never comes about. But if we set a specific day and time, it will happen, and we can begin a process that would be life-changing. Third, keep it short and simple. When I was doing youth ministry and growing up in a different era than today, by far, there was an illustration that was used many times, and it was KISS. And it really stood for something very basic for me. Keep it simple, stupid. At times, we think that everything has to be collegiate-level learning. Truth is, most people, even adults, learn at a more of a fifth-grade level. So if we keep it simple, they're going to grasp a whole lot more of what's going on. Number four, use multiple senses. If we as adults do all the reading and all the talking, we do not allow our children or others to join in and share, we'll lose them. And they'll get bored. Make it interactive. Let them read. Let them talk. Help guide them as they learn the process. Make it fun if you can. Fifth, give our older children and adults a larger role. as they are able and willing, encourage them to help lead the study or the time together. I know at times they'll be nervous, a little frightened, but help them get over that. I can remember a time when one of the ladies in Palmdale was always nervous that I can't speak and I can't pray in public because it just doesn't. And you know what? Now, some years later, after she was given the opportunity and encouraged to do it, she does an excellent job. Number six, keep it Bible-centered and add personal stories when you can. If we open up the Word and share what God's saying, that's great, but we also need to engage them. And the way we do that is help share some of the things going on in our lives, personal stories, things that have happened to us, and let them know if it's happening to them, God can get them through that time as well. Number seven, do not stop meeting or gathering because you miss a day here and there. We as people are known to start strong and finish weak. If we have to miss a time or two, okay, that doesn't mean it's over. Keep it going as best we can, and it will become a good habit in the years to come. Well, these are just a few thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. And I've utilized them for years in my leading of studies in my own life and other people's lives. I'm not saying that I was the best example of doing it at home. I probably was not. But I've learned from my own mistakes as I do the best I can to lead others to Christ. These are simple suggestions that I've learned to use in ministry for many years. Now it's time to start. Prayer thoughts for today. I want to make it clear, last Friday, I think it was, I made a mistake and said that Carrie's service is on Friday this week. It's not. It's on Saturday. Wednesday's devotion, the one I just did, had the correct time. So I want to reiterate one more time for everybody. Carrie's memorial service is tomorrow, Saturday the 24th at 2 p.m. here at the church. If you knew her, understand, would like to be here to encourage the family, you're more than invited. Please feel free to be here and join us. I want to answer a prayer, a praise. Dallas has found a new job, and he'll begin a week from Monday. So praise God for answers to prayer. And it turns out the company he's going to work for is owned by a Christian family. Maybe God delayed it for that purpose. Let's just see what God can do. Good, another praise is Juanita Hitt came home from her surgery. She's doing well as all the others who have had recent surgery. God has put his hand on so many people. Pray for those who are battling cancer and physical illnesses, our missionaries, our nation, our church, and our families. God bless you all as we approach a very special time of the year. Let's begin searching for the answers we need. Have a great day and God bless.